What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 421st episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. Now 10 years running.
Well, 10 years in 1 week.
Yeah.
What? We got big news. Hold on. I'm SBJ. I'm your host, Greg, here.
Hello. Just to let you know, there may be a slight delay when Will answers because I was just awarded a master's doctorate in lawyering, so we have a separate stream up to consult whether he should answer these questions during our ongoing litigation.
Correct. Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Yes. Masters of lawyering. I have a... Steve, give me my intro.
Will is also here.
I have a Pokemon-related bone to pick with Mr. Greg Leatherman.
What?
Okay.
What could you possibly have?
I am trying to date here in Minneapolis. And for those of you out there who aren't dating in Minneapolis or any other place, a lot of these dating apps nowadays, they link to your Instagram, right? You've seen that. You go to a dude's profile on, you're like, oh, well, let me look at the Instagram photos to see what they're really like. How come every time I pull up a guy that I'm interested in dating and go to his Instagram, it's like every photo liked by Greg Leatherman?
What?
Do you know everybody in this city already?
Yes. Look, I am your frontline interviewer. I am there.
Man.
I sort through people. If I've liked their Instagram, generally, they're a decent person or they're cute. Mostly, they're a decent person. Chances are that I've met them for sure.
Well, I mean, the dude that canceled me this morning wasn't a decent person. How rude.
Well, who was it? Send it to me in text.
This was not the big news we were starting off with.
What's the big news?
Although Greg knowing everyone in Minnesota is not surprising.
True.
No.
Two things before we get to the big news. Number one what do you want from me?
I want you to keep your promises.
Number one is there is a shiny Amoongus distribution happening right now.
By the time alert, yes.
Yeah.
It expires tomorrow. Did you get it?
Yeah, no, I totally got it this morning.
Ugh. I got to remember to do that when we're done recording.
Fires at like 8 a.m. California time, 11 a.m. Eastern time. So if you listen to this right when it drops and you're in North America, you should be able to redeem it on August 10th. Otherwise, I think it's like 5 p.m. UK time, and then it's like midnight Japan time. Look, it's based off UTC, or not UTC. No, it's not based off UTC. I'm sorry. It's based off of midnight in Korea, which I think lines up with midnight in, which is like an hour off from Japan. Something like that. That Amoongus is available. It is the Amoongus that won the Seniors Cup division. I don't have these notes in front of me. Seniors Cup in last year, I believe. So this would make sense because the Players' Cup is going on right now. Also, this upcoming weekend was supposed to be the World Championships, so them giving a Pokemon from the last World Championships makes sense. Although, here we are. That didn't happen. The other thing that didn't happen that will be ending probably by the time this podcast goes up is that every August there is an event in Japan called Pikachu Outbreak, and that also didn't happen. Both events didn't happen due to COVID, but they made Pikachu, Raichu, and Alolan Raichu, and a 1% chance for Mimikyu spawning in raids from Thursday to Sunday. And in 5-star raids, there was an 8% chance for Pikachu to be shiny, which is better than the Wailord event, which was a 2% chance. Very similar to the Magikarp event, which was also 8%. The difference is Pikachu could only be shiny in 5-star raids. I believe Magikarp could be shiny in any star raid. That being said, that was to celebrate the Pikachu... likely to celebrate Pikachu outbreak. I don't think they came and said that. I'm pretty sure exactly 1 week ago on the show we said, there's probably going to be another event, right? Because
probably
the raids this month are very lackluster. And they did it. They announced it on the Twitter, and
didn't one place announce it wrong?
Oh, we'll get to that. The website.
Okay.
And instead of doing just Saturday and Sunday, they did Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which I think is a way better way to do that. Although, again, I don't... the Pokemon... Why is everything the same weekend?
We're gonna don't even get me. Oh, my gosh.
We're going to do Community Day. We're going to do Pikachu. We're going to do the Players' Cup. We're going to... There's nothing in Pokemon Masters this weekend. Thank goodness.
Well, then, see, what are you complaining about?
There's too much. I will say that I almost skipped Community Day. And the only reason why I only did it, because I was actually meeting a friend to go hang out outside 6 feet apart, because we haven't seen each other in a year. So while we were sitting 6 feet apart, I just had my phone open and was not moving, just tossing to get Magikarp. Otherwise, I was going to skip it because I'm kind of burnt out on the whole Community Day thing because there's too much going on. But they do like to overlap, and it's frustrating because I want to get my surfing Alolan Raichu and maybe a shiny Pikachu. I want to do all those things, but you can't do everything.
Well, you can if you just, if Pokemon Don't is number one else. In your life.
And it's not. I got
family
I got
is
a
number
house
two.
To pay. My dog ate a squirrel. What are you?
A whole squirrel?
Yeah,
just
that's
part
a whole.
Of it.
We're not sure how much the squirrel goblin swallowed whole.
Well, that's our show for you guys today.
We just know it happened.
Let's actually get into the news here. So we'll start with what Greg brought up. The Japanese Twitter /website / the little in-news notification on the Switch that no one ever checks.
Why would you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it shows up kind of when you, like, open your Switch, but I don't think anyone's looking at the screen. I think they're just tapping
no,
A as fast as possible.
A as fast as possible. Yes, I have to 100%. Hit it three times to get in to play my game for no reason.
They said that the event, that, hey, there's a Pikachu event. If you're lucky trainers, you may get a shiny Pikachu. There was a data miner. I can't remember their name. I made a graphic about it, but the data miner posted that only Pikachu was affected for this event, the 5-star Pikachu we mentioned earlier. But all of the Switch, the Japanese Twitter, they said that it went until August 9th. If you were playing and you saw this on Thursday evening, because obviously Japan is in the future. So, you know, our 7 p.m. Central Time in Japan, in America is like noon or something in Japan. So they posted their update, they posted their information, and then, you know, we have to wait until the next morning. We'll have to wait till Friday morning because no one's working in America. Well, no one with an office job is working. Well, maybe some people are working with an office job at like 7 p.m. So you have to wait till they get in the office over in Seattle, and then they post the information. And they posted on their website, Pokemon.com, discover Pikachu, Raichu, Pichu, and Max Raid battles. Start searching for those Pokemon dens. The Pikachu Mass Appearance event runs through August 16th. So we have the Nintendo Switch, we have the Japanese Twitter saying August 9th, and we have Pokemon.com, an official source of news saying August 16th, then like 5 p.m. on Friday, the Play Pokemon Twitter, and then also an official Twitter. So the website article went up at like, what, 10 a.m., 11 a.m.? Because when I posted, I already made my graphic based off the Japanese Twitter. I posted my graphic, and then I was like, oh, Pokemon.com published the article. Let me just make sure everything's good. And then they said August 16th. And I was like, well, Sarah B. and everyone else is saying August 9th. The official Pokemon website is saying August 16th. I don't know who to believe. You would think that out of everything you can post, a date is like pretty universal, right? I know in like Britain they put like the day before the month.
It's like everywhere else in the world. Don't just blame that on Britain. It's more like, you know, in the U.S. they put the month before the day.
Yeah,
and that's the only place where we do that.
But to add a whole extra week, so the website goes the 16th, then several hours later, Play Pokemon says well, there's a Pikachu event running till the 9th. Who posted this article?
No. The problem is the website was using metric time.
Yeah.
And it was just as a fluke, and then everybody else was using regular time.
Right.
The next day, I believe Saturday morning, because they posted originally on the website on Friday. And then on Saturday morning, I rechecked. It says, start searching for those Pokemon dens. The Pikachu mass appearance event goes till August 9th. Correction. An early version of the article incorrectly stated the end date for the 16th. We apologize for the error. So they did correct it. They did update it. I noticed, although this wasn't probably that big of a deal, like 2 months ago when there was a Rotom event. Do you remember when they put like competitive Pokemon in raids? It was like Rotom, Dragapult, Excadrill.
Yes, it was the greatest day of my life.
The website said like, oh, you get Heat Rotom in this and you get Wash in that. They actually flipped it. And every time this is the second time, at least in the last couple months, I remember Pokemon.com having an issue. And I tweeted at them that time with the Rotom, and I CC'd one of the people I know that work with communication at Pokemon. And magically the website just said, instead of saying like Wash Rotom and Shield and Heat Rotom and Sword, it randomly said, you'll find Rotoms in both games. I'm not saying that my tweet specifically did that. I'm just saying that there was an error and they corrected it, although they didn't have a correction like they do with this one. Was maybe there was the only thing I can think of, there was discussion of making this event longer. And then they said, no, we can't make it longer because there's another event coming.
Yeah, we can't make it longer because Steve keeps complaining that there's too many things going on.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
We got to cut everything short so there's no overlap.
Correct.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, I'm assuming there would be another event supposed to be coming, Will.
What?
Because this weekend
was
supposed
to be. What happens when you assume, Steve?
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt of why there was an error here.
Never give a company the benefit of the doubt. Tear it down and start new. Quit now, frauds. If you can't get your timeline straight, why should we believe you about anything?
Glory to America.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Wait, no.
This weekend is supposed to be the world champ. Was supposed to be the world championship in the UK. We were all supposed to be there. Greg, me, Will. All supposed to be sipping our tea and feet on
crumpets.
The table with the crumpets.
Oh,
and then
fancy
Al was,
tea drinkers.
Al was there in his kilt playing a bagpipe.
Yep.
It was going to be a glorious
weekend. Haggis.
All the haggis. Nothing but haggis. Do you think Steve would actually eat haggis?
Heck no.
If you didn't tell him what it was, it just probably
looks like
a tasty bread thing.
Yeah.
I think of haggis like sauerkraut. Is that the same?
No.
No!
Oh, because sauerkraut is disgusting.
What?
What?
What? Are you not German?
Sauerkraut? Look, I can pull up my 23andMe by the end of the show, possibly. Sauerkraut is...
delicious.
Probably the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Oh, I got worse for you, buddy.
Oh,
stinky
yeah,
tofu? Heck yeah.
Have you tried lutefisk? We can go down the rabbit hole real quick.
Are we hedging bets on there's an event this weekend in Sword and Shield?
There's got to be something for fake worlds.
Right? Why would they just cancel the digital event? Just roll with
it. Yeah, I think you're right.
They're going to release new Galarian forms.
All right, let's get carried away here.
What? Okay, so given the fact that they'll just shove something in Max Raid Dens, what is the most likely thing to go into Max Raid Dens for worlds?
Ooh.
Shiny Togekiss. I was going to say maybe they put the Squirbunny Grookey Sobble in Max Raid Dens.
Oh, with hidden ability?
Yeah.
Potential? Yeah. Oh, I can see that.
Because, well, but they want people to subscribe. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. I was going to say, originally they distributed those to home, but at this point, they're bred and fed everywhere.
Like, at this point, those rabbits have gotten out of the cage.
Multiplied too much.
Multiplied into many, many things. Although, surprisingly, it surprises me how often Rillaboom is showing up now, because of that grassy glide.
To anyone that said Incineroar was the worst thing in Sun and Moon, competitively, Rillaboom is 10 times worse.
Hey, is it as bad as Ally Switch?
Look, Ally Switch is the worst. I'm not saying Rillaboom is the worst, but Ally Switch is definitely the worst thing.
What is Ally Switch? Is that where you can just swap sides?
Yeah. So you go to like Max Rockfall of Cinderace and then the Dusclops Ally Switch, so then you Max Rockfall the Dusclops and then it does like two damage.
The Pokemon's name is Cinderace.
Yes.
My mistake.
Two, I really wish you would get it right. We've been telling you this for a while.
Number two, get good, Scrub.
Noob.
Speaking of competitive, episode 7 of Pokemon Twilight Wings is available.
It is. It's a thing. That series happened.
I have not seen it yet, so I can't comment.
Have
you seen any of it?
Yeah, I've been doing every Patreon.
I pay for the Patreon, and for some reason, I don't see those. So I did something wrong.
So,
Greg, it sounds like you didn't like the series.
It was just boring. Like, they were slightly interesting slices of life, but little more than that.
Some people want an anime. They want that slice of life anime. Isn't that a huge market?
It would have been better if they were longer, so you could see more story develop. Otherwise, it was just like a 7-minute problem that was solved in 7 minutes. And usually it was a very surface level problem that was easily solved. I mean, they're cute, but otherwise it's not like I don't have the same feeling for them as I did for Origins. I thought Origins was really well. I thought Generations was really well. Like, they took parts of the game and expanded it. And here they just took people and gave them really light stories. And they're interesting and it was well animated, but otherwise it was just like, okay, I have no desire to go watch any of these again.
Yeah, I can see
they're pretty forgettable.
Yeah, I feel like I would put on Origins again.
Yeah, I would put on Origins again, and I have multiple times.
Some more news off Pokemon.com. Encounter Unknown, Deoxys, Elgium, and more during Pokemon Go's Enigma Week. And then just a reminder that if you did purchase a GoFest ticket, you will have that upcoming event on the 15th?
Yes.
Which is from 11 to 2 your time. And then it will be the Fire Hour, Water Hour, and then Friendship Hour, where you can play anywhere. And you get 2 free remote raid passes, I think, and 2 free incense with that. So those are only to people who bought tickets to GoFest. But this week, you'll be able to see Clefairy, Jigglypuff, Staryu, Lunatone, Solrock, Baltoy, Bronzor, and Elgium frequently appearing in the wild. If you're hatching eggs, Cleffa, Igglybuff, Lunatone, Solrock, Elgium are hatching out a 7k egg. Staryu now has the possibility of being shiny. Raid battles will feature Claydle, Bronzong, Elgium. You'll also have a rare opportunity to battle unknown U, L, T, R, and A in raid battles. These you should be able to do yourself. You probably don't need a group. I mean, it's unknown. They got one move. They got no good stats. And then the mythical Pokemon Deoxys will appear in its normal form in 5-star raids. And if you're lucky, as always, trainers, you may encounter a shiny Deoxys.
Ooh. I haven't yet.
Me either.
And this will go till Friday, August 14th, until 1 p.m. PDT. I mean, that's it. Then the following week will be the Unova week, which will have Bouffalant in New York. Sowaddle or Seawaddle. I'm not sure how to say that one yet.
Sowaddle.
Because it sows.
Yeah,
it
sows, I get
exactly.
It. I think I put too much emphasis on the sow part, so it doesn't sound natural.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
And then Genesect will be appearing next week in raid battles, and it will be a chance for shiny, which is very good for non-Japanese players, since Genesect was only distributed in Japan as a shiny. How was your guys' Magikarp? Will didn't do it.
Well, I intended to.
I tried, and Will had an entire conversation without me.
I mean, I had an entire conversation with myself that I imagined you were aware of. Look, kids, this coronavirus is real bad.
We've been locked in our house for a while. I didn't buy the ticket. I didn't pay the $1 thing to do. I just didn't want to invest that much into it. I met a friend who I hadn't seen in a while, so I just sat in a park with them so that we could safely socialize, and while we were socializing for 2 hours, I did Magikarp Day. I got a surprising amount of shinies. I think I got 8 in the 2 hours that I did it. It was fine. I didn't do all the things. I was just like, I felt the burnout. Like, I've done so many community days. It feels like it's been every other weekend where it was like GoFest and community day and then community day. And I was just like, I'm tired. I don't care about Magikarp. I don't care about how good the Gyarados would be in the part I like the least, which is gym battles and PvP. Yeah. So I just did it half-heartedly, and it was fine. Like, there was good spawns. It was a good spawn rate. I ended with 900 Magikarp candies that I used to evolve to 2 carps, and I called it a day.
Yeah, I think the thing for me was, number one, for me, Community Day is primarily just an excuse to go and see Greg.
Yes.
But then, like, number two, it was Magikarp. I already have shiny Magikarp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I've
like
so many in other games too.
I yeah. know. It's just like, it literally was like, it's not worth getting out of bed for.
Or Magikarp. I had a different goal. While everyone
you
wanted
did.
As many shinies as possible, I wanted to get the catch 300 big Magikarp medal in Pokemon.
I got 50.
You don't have that already?
No, I started the day, I think, with 119 big Magikarp, 120 big Magikarp, maybe. I'm not in a water biome, so I barely see water Pokemon unless I'm like...
I'm in a water biome?
Are you? I don't know. Was DC in a water biome?
There used to be a fountain by my house in DC, so when I would walk my dog, there was always a Magikarp there. So it's like, I literally got a Magikarp a day, if not multiple Magikarps a day. So...
Yeah, I never, ever see Magikarp unless I go to, the lakefront, which is not often.
We're in the land of 10,000 lakes. We have 2 big rivers. We see Magikarp plenty here.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of Magikarp. I think I ended the day with 160 out of 300 big Magikarp. So I guess in the 5 hours I played, I only got 40 big Magikarp. So that's a bit of a bummer. Only 140 more to go to get that fisherman vest.
Do you already have the boots and everything?
No, because I'm not going to buy the outfit until I get the whole outfit.
Oh, all right.
The vest is $5 on its own. It's a weird thing in games.
Yes, this is what I love, is you have to earn the right to spend your money.
Yeah, that's so weird.
That was a thing in Destiny, too. I don't know if you remember that well. It was like you had to do the whole year event of like, do all these things before to celebrate 1 year of Destiny. And then if you do it, you get to spend $20 on a shirt.
Yep.
I mean, I'm going to say this. Next weekend, I will do very little Pokemoning because the new patch for Final Fantasy XIV hits on Tuesday. It's a huge patch. I'm very excited. So, if all of you are like, you haven't opened my gifts, like, it's going to be a couple of weeks, kids.
When are they going to fix a Realm Reborn? It's still a slog.
This patch starts.
Oh, it does.
So, you can now fly in Realm Reborn after you completed it. So, flight comes. They are way upping the quest rewards, and they're cutting out a bunch of... the first run-through of cutting quests happens in this patch, and then they promise a bigger chunk, I think. The next big chunk is in 5-4. Mm. But they fixed a lot of it because starting Tuesday, if you play for free, you can now go from level 1 to 60 instead of 1 to 30. So you can get all the way through Realm Reborn and all the way through Heaven's Word and access the 3 big classes all for free. So that starts Tuesday. If you've ever been interested, you can play a lot. It's a much streamlined game, and Heavensward is a really good expansion. Join on in. Come to Gilgamesh. That's where I am. Don't listen to Steve. He picks terrible servers.
Gilgamesh is overpopulated, though, isn't it?
Nah, nothing's overpopulated right now.
Are you guys going to try for Shiny Deoxys?
The thing is it costs a lot of money to do remote raids. And I don't want to travel a lot to get them, and then try to find 5 people who are on at the same time and coordinated.
It's been pretty easy in the Slack to coordinate 5 people. Usually I just post like, hey, I got a Deoxys in 5 minutes who's wants to do it.
Yeah, that requires me to be on my phone and in Slack waiting.
No, yeah, available, right? Like, available. My problem is, like, you guys literally, like, you guys were doing remote raids last night, right?
Yeah, I think Greg and I did, like, two together.
Yeah, yep. When I was literally at the skate park, like, with all my pads and everything, which, trust me, when Will's got his skate pads on, there's no room for Pokemon Go up in that. It's like, I'm you might as well have just, like, wrapped me in bubble wrap when I have my skate pads on. And I'm like, well, I can't do this now. I'd love to join, but it's not a possibility. Can we, like, can I get, like, a 12-hour warning of, like, this is when I'm going to be looking for Deoxys raids, Will? So don't go to the skate park, even though it's, like, perfect weather for skating tonight.
If we want to set aside Tuesday evening,
that's
I
when
will...
I record.
No, well, Wednesday evening? Is when the actual raid hour is.
Yeah, but I got a game to run on Wednesday.
Mm. See, that we live too much. This is the problem. We have too many lives for raids.
Okay, so even if Deoxys at this point isn't this is the dilemma I have.
It's not my destiny. Deoxys is not my destiny.
Destiny,
there you go.
Deoxys. Okay, so like let's just say this was Shiny Mewtwo, right? You got plenty of ways to hunt Shiny Mewtwo. Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, soft resetting. Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, soft resetting. Fire Red, Leaf Green, soft resetting. You got multiple games. So ultimately, if you own those games, the cost of getting that Mewtwo is free minus your time. In Pokemon Go, I have now spent over $30 on raid passes, specifically to get Shiny Deoxys. Because I do want Shiny Deoxys. I want it.
It's for me, it is very difficult to be motivated to do anything in Pokemon Go because it is still not linked to Pokemon Home. And it's like, if I could get a shiny Deoxys in Pokemon Go that I could then transfer into my Pokemon Home and have it as part of my collection, I'd be heck yeah. I'd be like, I'd be calling you guys every day. Let's do that raid. Let's that.
I mean,
what's his name?
That's the goal, right? Like, I'm going to get the shiny Deoxys before the end of the week and then I'm going to wait and then I'm going to transfer it.
Well, but I live in the moment. I live for today, not for tomorrow. But I would like literally like I'd be hitting up that, what is his name, Jake in Liverpool. I'd be like, dude, yeah, I'll do these remote raids for you in the middle of the night or in the middle of my workday. But no, I have no qual for it because they don't even have a timeline of like
that's true
within the next 6 months.
It's frustrating, and I get that it's luck. Like I'm at like 36 Deoxyses. Four of those were like free because of the raid passes, the daily raid passes. And then what is a remote raid? It's like $2.50 for three of them. And then if you buy the gift box or whatever, you get like it's like $16 and you get like 18 passes. Or so it's like about $30 I've spent on raid passes. And besides the fact that like I genuinely like Pokemon Go and I'm doing this with other people and I'm able to do it with people in Slack or Discord or watching the Twitch streams and that's fun, I still can't help but think that at this point now, Deoxys has cost me half of a copy of Sword and Shield.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
But also, there's like a...
I gotta save that money for Gardenscapes, a game with real value.
Yeah.
Can't even finish that sentence.
But also, I think... there is like a time value of, is it worth your time? Like for Shiny Articuno in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, that took over 100 hours for me.
Yeah, but that was also 100 hours of... what you do for a living.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm trying to put my feet into the shoes of normal people. Like, yeah, for me, that's 100 hours of hanging out with Twitch chat and talking with them, and it is what I do for a living. But there are people who don't stream who just like to get shiny Pokemon, and they could be on their couch, soft resetting for 100-plus hours, and that is also frustrating. I don't know what's
but
more...
But they're also not... But they're also not just doing that, right? Like, I've never just sat and soft resetted in complete silence for 100 hours. I've watched movies.
Wait, you don't?
I've listened. No.
I imagine people soft resetting climb into the closet with the lights off, close the door, and just, you know.
Mother, I need to be in my soft reset room. Close the door and slide food under for me, please. I mean, they're doing other things. Like, soft resetting does not take all of your attention. Just like, I mean, I you know, I'm a pseudo method almost every shiny that I have. And that is me watching a movie while going around in a circle and looking down every minute and saying, ah, nope, put it in the box. There's a lot of other things. The difference about Pokemon Go is I have to either travel somewhere or I have to wait for somebody to say, okay, we're going to go do it in 20 minutes. Okay, invites are coming out. Get into the invites. I'm paying X amount of money to do this. And then I'm playing a very poor tapping game, the worst type of cookie clicker, and then for a chance. And it eats up a lot of time. And since they're around the world, I either have to sit in Slack or wait for people to message me on Twitter or send me a text message and hope that I'm near my phone and then log in. And it is a process that doesn't exist in the real games. And I find that process sometimes very frustrating. Like, I can't soft reset that raid. I get one chance and then I drive to the next one, or I wait for somebody else to drive to the next one. Like, there's a huge time investment where Pokemon Go eats up all of your attention to be able to get a chance to do this one thing, and you are not only paying for it in time, but you're paying for it in actual cash. I find it's really frustrating. I find that thing frustrating. It's like a long time ago, like same with Rayquaza, I was like, look, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I'll take the chances that I have, but I'm not invested into having this on my phone, and also it can't move anywhere right now. So the only person that cares about having it is me, and posting it on Twitter for the 4 minutes that people will look at it and move on with their lives.
Well, absolutely. The only time doing these kinds of raids is like real touch your heart fun and pleasure is like after Pokemon Go Fest, and it's a day and they're just like have raid after raid after raid of something really good and fun, and you're like running around Chicago with your buddies doing raids, right? That is a great time. When it's just like the middle of the year and you're on your own in South Minneapolis crying because you can't leave your house, that's no fun.
No.
It's not even worth a buck, let alone five.
I'm in too deep now.
Well, you have always been in too deep. But you also have a captive audience that will show up for your remote raids.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you are right. I am at a slight advantage where because I decided to live stream Community Day. So thank you to everyone that came out. My IRL Pokemon Go live streams are, I think I would rather work McDonald's drive through. It is. I love doing them.
Spoiler alert, you can.
I love doing them, but it is the hardest thing I think I've ever done in life is to walk around in heat with a 10-pound backpack with the possibility and the guarantee that there will be technical issues every 15 minutes. And it is something. It cannot be a Twitch thing. It just must be the general point of the game, because the game is free, and so there's such a low barrier of entry of like all these kids having access to a phone and then having access to a free game. But the audio, and I hate when people are like, Pokemon's a kid's game. Look, I play Sword and Shield 40 plus hours a week in front of people, and yeah, totally. Kids love Pokemon. So, yeah, so do adults. And the people who come through my streams are, for the most part, very polite. They provide good conversation. So they argue with me about how my opinions are wrong, which is fair.
But true.
They're humans. When I stream Pokemon Go, I do not get humans. I get what I assume to be an 11-year-old that has no clue how the world works. They don't know how to say hi. They don't know how to say hello. They don't know how to ask a question. They just go, this is a Pokemon Go stream? Friend code, friend code. Like, they're just spamming their friend code. And now we have bots set up. We got to the point in my Twitch stream where we have bots to detect a Pokemon Go friend code to then delete the friend code and then to warn the person being like, hey, Don't share your friend codes here. That's not what we're going for. But they try again. And then it's just people coming in being like, hey, I need to get into a raid. I need to get into a raid. Look, dude, you're new here. I'm fairly competent at recognizing people's names. You're not following the stream. You're new here. This is your first time here. You didn't say hello. The first thing you want is like, I need a Deoxys. There's 200 plus people here. I can only send 5 invites. My friends list is full. I have a bunch of subscribers that have been asking to get on my friends list for over a year. They're just so... And again, this just doesn't happen with Sword and Shield. It doesn't happen with Let's Go. It doesn't happen with HeartGold, SoulSilver. It's specifically Pokemon Go where people come in and they're like, I need Deoxys right away! Friend code! And you're just like, calm down! Calm down! We're trying! I'm out! It's 80 degrees! My phone is slipping on my hand because I'm sweating.
Two things here. Number one... Will Anderson laughs at what you people call hot. Okay, y'all, I'm so sad for you. Please don't ever try to live in DC for the summer because you'll just die. Two, there are so many more Pokemon Go players than any other type of Pokemon game.
That's true.
That is why the audience is so drastically different, because it just attracts just so many people that you're going to get. Well, and of course, it's that Venn diagram of Pokemon Go player and somebody who would watch somebody play Pokemon Go on Twitch. All right?
There's a level of desperation there that is built into the equation.
Think about the logic of this. You are playing a game where it's raids, so you are intended to be outside walking around going to those raids, but somehow your viewer is watching Twitch, so they're not outside walking around doing those raids. What is the mind, the brain that creates that situation? That is your viewer there.
It works in this instance just because they did make it so easy to play at home. Right? Yeah. Like, if I was trying to do Magikarp Community Day, but it was last August, I can't imagine anyone would be watching because they would be out also doing Magikarp Community Day. But the fact that, like, Niantic has made it easy to play at home and it's the middle of August and everyone's sweating... I feel like a reasonable person would be like,
it is cold here. I am cold. I am literally wearing a sweatshirt and long pants because I'm so cold in Minneapolis in August. You guys are a joke.
A reasonable human would be like, hold on.
We are having a cold August. It is normally 100 degrees in August. We are having a weird cold August. So don't come at me with
I
this
ain't
whole.
Coming at nobody.
With this whole, you'd never survive in DC. It gets freaking hot here. We have had a very cold summer.
I don't do good with the weather.
We don't do good with any. You would do better in weather if you weren't always wearing a hoodie and like 4 layers of thin clothing.
No, let's be real. Steve would do better in one of those bubble rooms where you can't get any like germs or allergens into the room. That is
with
his ideal environment.
With a bathroom. He just wants to be. You just want to be in a mall.
I had my summer jeans on. And I had a moisture wicking Under Armour white t-shirt on. I'm as good as I can get. Anyways, a reasonable person would be like, it's August. Magikarp is not that exciting. I'm going to turn on an incense. I'm going to watch Twitch or anime. And I'm going to catch Magikarp in my house where it's air conditioning.
Yeah.
So I don't know if once COVID is over in the future, I can stream community days outside, because those people would also be outside.
We are in a unique situation at this time, correct? We will be in this unique situation for at least a year.
But for these people coming in, just like, I get it, right? You're at home. I'm the one out there trying to see Deoxys, trying to get Deoxys for people. I'm trying to show people Milwaukee, provide good content. But these people that come in and they just spam their friend code, or they're just desperately asking for Deoxys, but man, a hello goes so far. Just to be like, hello, how's it going? Wow, I like your stream. This is a beautiful park. You're like, just. And then they wonder why they're not getting invited to raids because they don't even know how to say hello.
Look, hello, waste time. We all know what we're there for. Get me to the prize. Give me my shiny.
I gotta get Deoxys at this point. I've invested too much money and time.
You're too deep.
Not to get Deoxys.
Sunk cost fallacy, yeah, folks. You can look it right up on Wikipedia. Sunk cost fallacy.
Deep in the sunk cost fallacy. You are so deep. You will go bankrupt thinking
this
game owes you something. It don't owe you nothing. And here. Let me give you this right now. Ready, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that shiny Deoxys is so cool. When did you get it? Cool.
Hey,
talk to you later.
This Deoxys is for me.
And your children.
This is Deoxys.
And your children's children.
I'm getting buried with this Deoxys. When I die, I'm going to say, if I did not move this Pokemon to Pokemon Home, please bury me with my iPhone. So this $45 Deoxys.
No, that is the loser's way of doing it. You get the tombstone with the digital picture in it, and you just have it cycle through all your shinies so that when people come to your grave, they can be like, oh, cool, that's what shiny Deoxys looked like back in the day, and then move on.
All right.
Because what good is it doing in your coffin? Put it on your tombstone, or erase your data, fraud.
We need to move on. We need to take a break.
Take a break like 15 minutes ago.
We will be right back.
This is the year of Maractus. This is the year of Maractus. Some could argue that 2019 is the year of Maractus.
Who would argue that?
Maractus. This is the year of Maractus.
No, this is the year of Goomaractus.
All right, big news.
No. No, you're not doing it 2 weeks in a row. Do it right.
I don't know what that means.
And we're back.
We haven't done that in so long.
Yeah, we have.
Greg and I keep protesting.
Oh my gosh.
If there's no consistency, how will anybody know that we are back from our break?
Because I stopped doing the We Are Back like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
no, you
but
didn't.
We miss it. We miss classic. We miss classic times. We yearn for nostalgia of better podcasts of yore. None of this jumping straight ahead because you're impatient with your big news that you hold out until halfway through the show to tell us anyways.
It's true.
Fraud.
Well, look, you caught me off guard with the legal suit.
Well,
good.
This is going in.
That was the intent. Now do it.
So the big news is
No. I've got bigger news. Bigger news. I got to the end screen on the Isle of Armor expansion this morning.
Yay!
Oh, there you go. Did you like it?
Guess what, folks? I really play Pokemon. No, I'm aggravated because I don't get to Gigantamax Urshifu until after I get to the end. I'm like, what's the point? Why did I go through all that effort of making soup? Getting the ingredients for the soup, but I can't make the soup until after it's over.
Because he's picky.
No. This is narrative here. Chekhov's gun. Do not introduce the Max Honey if you're not going to use the Max Honey in the third act. Oh.
They save it for the encore. You know how plays work.
No. All right, Steve, now that I've blown everything up, what's your concept of big news?
We have officially been nominated for a podcast award in the Game and Hobbies section.
Yay!
We did it. You guys voted enough. You guys didn't vote enough to be People's Choice, but you voted enough for Game
and Hobbies. Oh, listen to this. Listen to this backhanded compliment. Thanks for all your hard work. You could have worked harder, though.
You could have worked.
That's so Minnesota.
That was very Minnesota. I really appreciate everyone who took the time to get us nominated. Now we are against 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So there's 10 people. So we're against 9 others in the Games and Hobby. Podcastawards.com. You can vote once per category. So there's arts, comedy, business, education, entertainment, games and hobby. That's where we're in. People's Choice. And you have until I think it's like September 12th. So,
man.
A little over a month. You can go and you can vote. You can change your vote before then. You do need to make an account. It takes less than 30 seconds, just email, password. I don't think the Podcast Awards has ever emailed me in like the 7 years I've had an account with them. You do have to make an account just to verify. Thank you to everyone who voted. Now is the important part, the actual try to solidify to see if we can win in this category.
Do I vote for the show that I'm on, or do I vote for my friend's show that is competing against the show that I'm on? What is the ethical?
You vote for the show you're on. You vote for the better show, which is this show, the show you're on.
Number one, who has friends? What is that?
I mean,
this is 2020. Friendship is like very 1900s.
You just started complaining that I know everybody in Minnesota.
Yes, exactly.
And you are surprised that
I know
people in
this
category?
If you had no friends, I'd have a much larger dating pool.
Well, what is me knowing them stop you from having a dating pool with them?
If I have to explain that to you, then you're too young for this program.
I'm older than you.
I know. Look, I'm getting my own lawyer.
What? All right. Go to the other stream. We're going to talk this out. Steve, continue.
You guys can't argue. I need you guys both to vote for this show.
I'm voting for this show. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
I mean, that's two votes. I should really... they're my friends, though.
Are we not? I invited you to two Deoxys raids last night.
It's 2020.
Neither one of them were shiny.
It's 2020. Do what everybody else in the world does. Set up some other fake account with a throwaway
email address.
No,
don't get us disqualified.
No. Use that one to vote for his friend.
Oh, yeah. So that'll be up all month. If you got time, please vote. I'll probably be more annoying about it when we get closer to it, the end of it.
When does it end?
I believe nominations close September 12th, and then they will do a live stream on September 30th of announcing the winners.
Is there going to be like a Zoom red carpet that we can all dress up for?
Gosh, I hope so. If not, we'll just make it.
Okay, we'll have a Zoom. We'll on your Twitch stream, we'll dress up.
Yeah, we'll Zoom no matter what. Other thing
award
is...
Award ceremony on International Podcast Day is September 30th, and that's when the award ceremony
is. Oh, see?
Is.
That makes sense. In other news, our Kickstarter is still live. We're at almost 100 people that want this not actual music.
Have you seen the cassette tape?
Yeah, I'm the one working on
that. Cassette tape is fire.
Yes. Nick has been doing most of the Kickstarter work. Nick is the one reaching out, making sure that the cassette tape looks good. Nick presented me with a bunch of different cassette tape designs, and we went with the like semi-clear purple one, which looks really, really great.
Yeah, it does. Although, Greg, could you have the lawyer's note that Steve just acknowledged that someone else is doing the majority of the work? I would like to have that on the official record. Thank you.
Oh, I mean, all of these are being submitted in to court official records. So, I mean, are you going to use his own words against him?
That's the best way to do it.
Nick is still getting the mastering and stuff done for it. And then we will be doing some stretch goals this week. You want to support?
Don't you have to indicate that you're partnered with Dina DNA before you talk about mastering?
Oh, I was like, no, I don't. I still don't know what mastering is. It's when you make the music better.
Make the music better. A hidden stretch goal being a part of the lawsuit. So reach out separately, and we'll get you on the class action. You can find me on Twitter. You'll hear about it at the end of the show.
So thank you to everyone who pledged. I know that some people have expressed they want the cassette tape, but it's at a pretty high reward tier. We're working with it. Nick is doing what he can to, I don't know, do the music stuff. He's the music guy.
He's going to make the musics that come into your ear holes.
Yeah.
I know nothing else about the musics because that's all that happens.
But then part of one of the pledges is Nick's new album, which comes out in October, I think. And so it's like for $5 extra, you get Nick's album, which you should do because obviously Nick is a very talented musician. But I believe Nick will be announcing his album in either this week or next week. So That'll be on the Kickstarter too. Anyways, Kickstarter in the show notes below. Thank you to everyone who's pledged. We'll keep you updated as we're going. That ends at the end of the month, so you got time for that too. Okay, speaking of money, let's get back to some Pokemon news. Nintendo's financials came out again. We got some good news and some bad news.
Bad news first.
Bad news is we have no clue how many copies of Isle of Armor has sold because they don't report on DLC.
What?
Yeah. Good news.
That's real shady.
Yeah, they're hiding.
In the last like 3 months, Sword and Shield has sold another million copies, which is pretty good. So this is off NintendoLife.com. And this was also sent in by Brandon in our Slack community. Nintendo's should we do Nintendo Switch's top 10 selling games as of June?
Yeah. What are they?
Number 10, we'll go bottom up. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe at 7.4 million.
Did they do another Wii U game on the Switch?
Yeah, that was a launch game, I think.
Talk about quit now frauds. Oh. Wow.
Splatoon 2, 10.71 million. You could argue that was just an enhanced version of Splatoon, honestly. Super Mario Party, 10.9 million. Number 7, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, 12.2 million copies, which is right on the heels, I think, of HeartGold SoulSilver. Probably will pass it this holiday, I'm assuming. New Super Mario Odyssey, 18 million copies. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, 18.22 million. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is a launch game, 18.6 million. New Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. That came out like a week after Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, right? 19.9 million. Animal Crossing New Horizons, which has only been out for, what, 3 months now? 22.4 million.
Jeez.
And Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, 26.74 million.
What about Super Paper Mario, Mario Paper, whatever that is?
I don't think
Super Paper, Paper Mario Paper?
I don't think that got reported. Because that came out in July?
That's only like a month old, yeah.
Yeah, this is the end of June, I think, is these numbers. So that puts the total here of lifetime sales. You have Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green, 31 million copies lifetime. Gold and Silver, 23 million copies. Pokemon Sword and Shield, the third best-selling Pokemon game of all time, 18.22. Diamond and Pearl following that with 17.64. X and Y after that with 16.45. Ruby and Sapphire with 16.22. Pokemon Sun and Moon with 16.18. And out of all eight generations, Black and White at the last spot with 15.64. To be
ridiculous,
fair, though,
as those are the best games.
15.64 million copies of a game sold is still incredibly impressive.
It's still a lot of games.
I bet in like 10 years when we look back, Black and White cutting every Pokemon and adding 150 new ones would be more controversial than Sword and Shield.
Oh, absolutely.
100% correct.
People were so mad about that. Even though once you beat the game, you could transfer them all in. But people were just mad that they couldn't start with their Salamence. Black and White are good games, though. Dang, they're very good.
I've been saying this for 8 years now.
He doesn't listen.
You got that right.
He will spout it out like it was his idea when we have been harping on. Ask him about Gen 2.
The season finale of this podcast will be me saying I invented Pokemon.
I wish that was a joke.
It's gonna happen. The season finale. What are our seasons?
I don't know yet.
It's like, are we still in season one? Because this has been a heck of a long season.
Well, you know, once it's you go to season time, two, you get that sophomore Greg. Slump.
Oh, true.
This week, Darkness Ablaze will be available.
What is that?
The new
it's
TCG
the set,
set
we talked about last week. Dude.
No, we talked about Champion's Path last week.
Yeah, we talked about
but
Champion's
we also,
Path.
No, we also brought up Darkness Ablaze because I was like, don't they come out with sets quarterly? Blah blah blah. And yeah. You were like, yeah, Darkness Ablaze is the current one. Blah blah blah. That's how I hear the podcast when I listen to it.
I just totally just blanked out for this whole section.
Darkness Ablaze, August 14th is the official release date. It will feature 185 cards. Oh, gosh. It will have VMAX. Don't forget your V card at the door here. VMAX Grimmsnarl. Hydreigon is in this set. Butterfree VMAX. Crobat V. Poltegeist. All in this set.
So old Hydreigon was one of my favorite TCG cards. Is this new Hydreigon a good card?
It has 160 HP. It has a 2 darkness, 1 colorless attack that just does 130 called Pitch Black Fangs. And its ability, which is the more important thing, is called Dark Squall. As often as you would like during your turn, you may attach a darkness energy from your hand to one of your Pokemon. So it is the same. It's very similar to...
Well, it's similar to the old one. The old one, you could move energy around.
Yes. Because people would run Hydreigon and Darkrai.
That was my main deck, dude.
they would move the energy off Darkrai, heal it, and then move the energy back.
Correct.
Okay, the only thing I care about, are there any Rosalia in this set?
I don't know, but the Butterfree art is amazing. If you didn't see that, Butterfree VMAX is real, real, real good.
I don't care about Butterfree.
Oh, okay, never mind. What about Poltegeist?
Okay, I'm listening.
There's a lot of good colors in the background. I don't know what set this is. It might be Darkness Ablaze. There's a gay Panpour in the set.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, there is.
What? Aww. Roselia or Panpour?
Panpour. There's no Roselia, so this set is garbage.
Yeah, but you get gay Panpour.
Look, I don't have to support every gay that exists.
Exactly. I was going to say something. I don't know how to phrase it.
Apparently, it bothers Will when I do.
Exactly. What? That true also.
It's a cute Panpour, though. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, for those monkeys.
Now you got a harsh on
the monkeys
again.
I will say Panpour is my favorite of the monkeys. Of the elemental monkeys.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you. Panpour's pretty okay compared to the rest.
There's a Rowlet, though. Ooh, this is Sarina. Okay, this isn't a terrible set. I won't play this game, but...
Last bit of news is that Zarude is now available to ticket holders.
I don't recall you, A, traveling to Japan in the last week, or B, living there.
Look. I don't know what you heard, Greg. I know r/Pokemon strongly believes that Japan doesn't know how to use Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and pretty much all of the internet. But I can confirm that they know how to use eBay. And we have people that listen to the podcast that live in Japan.
Oh, I see. So you are, this is going into the lawsuit. So if you have been scammed by Steve with promises of follow-ups for getting him ticket prices and free codes from Japan, and he has not followed through.
Free codes?
This is filed under the access to Japanese assets section of the lawsuit. So just make sure you put it in that one there. Thanks.
At White Wing, I will be collecting them all. So I got my master's doctorate in lawyering, so I'm guaranteed to win.
This has come up a lot so I got Zarude, had somebody purchase a movie ticket, they sent me the code on the ticket. So this is how it works. We'll back up. We'll explain this. So our listeners walk away knowing more than the common folk. So in Japan, if you want to go to like a wrestling show, if you want to go to a play, if you want to go to a movie, if you want to go to like Disneyland World, I don't know which one is there.
It's called Disney Japan or something like Tokyo Bay.
Tokyo Disney.
Yeah.
Tokyo Disney. If you want to go to any of these events, all you have to do is go into the thousands of 7-Elevens that are literally next to each other in Japan. You can't walk out of a 7-Eleven without seeing another 7-Eleven. And inside the 7-Elevens are these ATMs. They look like ATMs, but they're just boxes that with a touchscreen that you can buy tickets from. So you walk into a 7-Eleven, you go to the touchscreen, you want to go to purchase a movie ticket for Coco, which is the new Pokemon movie coming out in Japan. Those tickets went on sale on August 7th. you purchase the ticket for, I think a movie ticket there is like 10 bucks. So it's like 800 yen or something like that. And then when you purchase it, it prints it out right there. And then on that receipt is your movie ticket and your code for Shiny Celebi and for Zarude. And ever since Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, ever since the Switch, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, Sword and Shield, all are region free with the codes. That's why I like that Korean Amoongus. Anyone can download. If there was a Giovanni event for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, only in the U.S. at Best Buy, but if you a U.S. person gave that to a Japanese person, they'd be able to redeem that. If you were to go to Japan and get the birthday Eevee, birthday Chansey, I think it's Chansey still.
I think it's Chansey.
Doesn't matter. That code will still work. This was different than like Sun and Moon and the DS stuff. So when I was part of the Pokemon Secret Club, which that involved you walking into a Pokemon Center, spending 800 yen to get a Secret Club membership and then redeem it, they gave out a shiny Necrozma through Secret Club, but it would only work on a Japanese version. I think not the game. It was specific to the console, I think. Because I had to send it to a friend that had a Japanese 3DS to then redeem it, to then trade it to me. It was very complicated. But none of that matters anymore. It seems like all these Switch games, as long as you have the code, Secret Club also gave out a shiny Krabby for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, which I was able to redeem no problem. A couple things here. If you want Zarude, I'm trying not to say Zerora because that keeps popping up in my mind. If you want Zarude and Shiny Celebi, eBay seems to be offering it for about $15, which goes back to our conversation about Deoxys. Is Deoxys worth the amount of raid passes that you're putting into it? I don't know. Is Shiny Celebi worth the $15 to you so you don't have to play Pokemon Crystal and Soft Reset?
Yes.
Maybe. Is Zarude worth $15? Maybe. Although, this is what I would recommend. If you have a friend in Japan and you convince them to walk down to a 7-Eleven to get you a ticket, it's probably going to cost them like 10 bucks. But obviously, people on eBay want to make a profit, and that's why they're charging 15. They're actually double dipping. So this is what happens with a person on eBay. They buy the movie ticket. They sell the code separately on eBay, and then they sell the movie ticket again back to somebody who wants to see the movie but doesn't care about the codes at a cheaper price than they would buy the... They got it made. It's fine.
But who wants to see the movie without the code?
Yeah.
Parents? I don't know.
I mean...
Parents?
There's the power of us. Like, we it's out there. That stinker. That we have no faith in the movie franchise any longer.
If I'm choking over here, if you go the eBay route and you decide that you cannot wait, you want Shiny Celebi, you want Zarude, if you decide to go the eBay route, only purchase from a seller that says they will send you a code. It will read the description. If they send you a code, that's fine. Also, if they're charging like $3, it's hacked. If the seller says, we will trade you the Zarude and the Celebi after you pay, those are hacked. PK hexed, duplicated, holding a master ball, perfect IVs. Here's some good signs. Zarude and Celebi, only 3 perfect IVs. Guaranteed. Not 6, not 5, not 4, 3. Zarude will be holding leftovers. Celebi will be holding lucky eggs, not master balls. They will have to have that ribbon. It's like, I don't remember what the ribbon is called. It's like a red ribbon. They're in Cherish Balls. They both come at level 60. So again, any eBay auction that says level 100 Zarude from the movie holding Master Ball, they're just taking your money and giving you a PK Hex Pokemon that they've duplicated 100 plus times. If you get the code for the 15 bucks or 16 or 17, however much they're charging now, you enter the code manually in your own Nintendo Switch. It'll show up in your items. You'll see it. It'll be in the history of like all your battle points, your Galarian Ponyta you redeemed, your Ball Guy shirt that you've gotten. It'll show up in your history and everything. Now, if you don't want to pay any money for Pokemon, This is the question I keep getting. Are we going to get Zarud? Is Zarud going to come here? Is this the only way to get Zarud? I don't know where you guys have been for the last 20 years. Every year there's a Pokemon movie. Every year that movie features a mythical Pokemon. And every year they usually line up together in the U.S. So when did we get Zeraora the first time? When that bad Zeraora movie came to theaters. Although I believe you had to go to GameStop to get the Zeraora. But it was the same time. When did we get Hoopa? When that bad Hoopa movie came to the U.S. I actually don't know if that one's bad. I've been told it's bad. I haven't seen it. When did we get Volcanion. When the Volcanion movie came. This has been ongoing for a long time. So when are we going to get Zarud? When the movie in the U.S. gets officially announced, I am hedging my bets that it will go straight to Netflix because Netflix is buying anything they can and putting it on their service for exclusivity. And I'm assuming that they will release Zarud either at a GameStop, a Best Buy, a Target, or through Pokemon Home when the movie is ready to come to the United States.
There is no way they're having people go to a retail location.
Yeah, you're probably right. Unless something magically happens between now and November, I don't think there's going to be any...
Nope.
There's no magic in the world to solve this problem.
Nope.
There is a small question of, like, it may be fairly obvious that we'll eventually get Zarud, but I think people are worried about us maybe not getting the shiny Celebi. I don't know.
It's happened before.
Yeah, it has happened before.
And if you live in Australia, you don't get any of these. I think Australia eventually got Zeraora, but there was a point in time where they seemed very forgotten about. I don't know, is $15 worth it to you guys for these Pokemon?
It's more worth it in a game that I have multiple ways of moving it around. So I can get it into Home, I can get it to other future games. I can, like, that ecosystem has me more willing to spend money.
I can just be patient. It will come someday.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be like, you know what? No Zarud for you.
Nah.
If you do get the Zarud, though, if you got money to burn, you want to improve the Japan economy by giving money to eBayers. If you take your Zarud to the professor in the train station in the Isle of Armor, she will give you an ash hat that you can wear on your trainer, which is a little nice bonus. This will also work if you don't care about Zarud, but you care about the hat. You can borrow a Zarud from your friend.
Oh.
Talk to the lady, and then trade the Zarud back, and then you unlock the hat.
Is this the lady out on the island?
No, it's the one in the train station. She's the one that evaluates your Pokedex. Okay. She'll say something like, wow, this Pokemon isn't in the Pokedex, and then she'll... Well, it does...
I mean, she's on the island.
She is on the island.
Just in the train station on the island.
No shiny Zarud. It is shiny locked. There is a different Zarud in the game code. I believe Bulbapedia calls it Dada Zarud.
What?
Like daddy. But it is the Zarud with the pink Celebi cape.
Oh, okay.
Which...
Like Ash Greninja?
I was going to say more like AZ's Floette.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The thing that never appeared.
You think that they would have distributed that one. Because that one...
Oh, that's coming in 2021.
That one is more for the movie. That is not available in the game either.
Jeez, no Pokemon Masters news?
Nothing,
no. Nothing's happening. Nothing is happening.
I am shocked.
I think
terrible,
this is really
going to
cut into my Gardenscapes time.
I think this is the calm before the one-year anniversary storm.
Yeah.
Question of the week, Greg.
Yes. SBJ, please. Don't blame me for what you see. I just ask for the questions of the week. SBJ, please. You know what I seek. Please ask us the questions of the week.
And there's a lot of three good questions this week.
Yeah, there were. I was real happy.
Shout out to Slack.
Yeah, that's a toughie, so I don't know what you're going to pick, because I liked them all.
Maybe we'll just save these three questions for the next three episodes. I guess I'll go with Brandon. Has there ever been a Pokemon that, despite its popularity, what it stands for, or the culture created that you wish never existed?
What? I'm going to wish it away into the nowhere place?
I mean, I don't care about the Charizard popularity.
I don't really either.
And it's never really bothered me. It's just like, I don't know, it like doesn't for like literally every Star Wars fan like loves R2-D2 and CP, well, R2-D2. Let's not go that far. Right? Like every Star Wars fan loves BB-8.
Yeah, because BB-8 is great.
So it's like Charizard is just that, just at a in the Pokemon world. Like
is there,
people just like it.
You despise because of its popularity, what it stands for, or the culture it created that you wish never existed.
Gee.
Maybe Jinx?
Yeah, because
it's like it's not, and it doesn't respond to any of those three prompts.
Well, I will say this: I do sort of wish Jinx didn't exist, based off of the culture that it stands for, because people use it for very. It's already on the edge, and then people use it as either like a super poor suggestive joke, which is like don't lean into it,
yeah,
or use it as a criticism of the existing franchise. Well, like look what they did here 25 years ago. So I think
it definitely created a culture.
It definitely created a culture of negativity on both sides that I don't particularly care for. And if that went away and we just had Smoochum, I would be happy. Or if it got an evolution and we could just get past it or something. Yeah, I think Jinx is probably the one that affects culture the most.
Or they just keep changing it slightly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So I have an answer.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
And it's like, I don't have anything against the Pokemon. I think it's an ugly Pokemon. Definitely not one of my favorites, but it still has a right to exist. I'm sure somebody out there is a huge fan. But all the Diggersby memes that were just like so pointless.
Diggersby, though.
It just like wasted like that fraction of my brain power. And then it kept coming up over and over and over again that it became more than a fraction of my brain power, that I resent that. So I resent the Diggersby memes. I don't. Diggersby on its own is weird hand ears. That's fine.
Diggersby prior to that meme was probably one of the most shocking evolutions I've ever seen. Like if you not knowing what Bunnelby was going to evolve into, and then seeing it evolve into that, I was like, whoa, what happened?
I don't think there's ever been a Pokemon that I've hated because of its popularity. Like, I don't get why Lucario is popular other than people, like, buy into the marketing.
Well, I mean, because, right, that just the premise behind that question is, like, hipster mentality of, oh, everybody likes this, so I can't
so
like
I
this.
Get, yeah, well, there's some of that.
You know what? That new Taylor Swift album, straight fire. Will Anderson loves it. Mm. So don't be hating on Taylor Swift.
I'm not a Swiftie.
Will, Pokemon of the Week.
Oh boy, you guys ain't ready for this. But last week's Pokemon of the Week, blah, 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 something about Will Anderson playing classical guitar. Why does he bother us with his personal life? It has nothing to do with Pokemon of the Week, or so you think. Music in the Gen 5 Black and White games, you had to perform certain tasks to unlock portions of the soundtrack. One of those tasks, you had to show a Pokemon to the piano player in Acumula Town in the upper right-hand corner. But strangely enough, that Pokemon was not available in Black and White 2. So you had to go through all kinds of machinations to breed it or to trade it in to get it into the game so you could show it to that person so you could unlock the piano track for Acumula Town. I mean, and I also use the word tater.
I think so, I have it right.
Who was the Pokemon last week?
It's
Lucario.
No.
Cricketot.
Cricketot. Correct.
Yeah, it's got a good shiny. I do like the orangey shiny.
It's a little too subtle for me.
Oh, really? I think it's cute.
I prefer I prefer to avoid the Joltik issue and to have a very distinct shiny. Huh? Did you just say Joltik has a distinct shiny?
Yeah, its eyes are a whole different color.
Dude, I literally bred extra shiny Jolticks because I didn't realize that I had gotten the shiny.
You should have looked into its eyes.
Its
eyes are pretty different.
That's literally the biggest difference right there is the color of the eyes.
Yeah, you just got to look at the eyes.
They're not that different.
What? One is blue and the other's purple.
Blue and purple. Yes. Yeah, those the hugely widest diverse part, colors.
You know, the color that comes right after blue, purple.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like if you said it's blue and red, okay, there. Blue and purple?
Yep.
Darker blue.
I would say Cricket Tot Shiny is pretty noticeable.
Could I get some Tater Tot? Trivia facts, please.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got at least two.
Is the only Pokemon with the base stat total of 194. True to its Pokedex entry, Krikatot's cry sounds like that of a xylophone. Krikatot evolves at the lowest level of a Pokemon that are part of a two-stage evolutionary line, being at level 10.
Interesting there. Who evolves lower than level 10 out of all Pokemon? Well, there's some Pokemon you could evolve at level 1. That's true.
Caterpie evolves at 7?
Well, but there's ones that also do item leveling, so you can just automatically you can evolve them. Yeah.
You can breed a Roselia and then immediately evolve it.
Yeah.
At level 1.
Which just seems a little why are we forcing our children to grow up so fast?
Because they need to get in the battle and fight.
Well, for those who don't know, because maybe you don't pay as much attention to Pokemon as other people, pre-evolutions learn moves faster than evolved Pokemon, so keep that in mind.
But what if I bred all the moves on it that I want?
Oh, how can you breed 4 egg moves?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, jeez.
I'm a master breeder.
How's that shuffle icon for Krikatot?
It's pretty good. It's cute.
Krikatot's a really like cute Pokemon.
It's a little tater tot.
A little tater tot with a collar.
Don't put it in your hot dish, though, because it is a bug.
It's got a xylophone chest.
All right, this week's Pokemon, we're going easy on folks, because I've been a little difficult lately.
We got a review that said you were too easy.
Oh, what? Snaps.
I didn't see that review.
It said make Pokemon of the Week harder.
Oh, I'll make it real harder. It'll be one letter. I'll give you one letter. And next week, folks, start your brain power in advance because I'm giving you one letter and you got to pick that Pokemon.
Can we play name that Pokemon? I can name that Pokemon in 15 letters.
And it's not any of the unknowns. Here we go. When perusing the Sinnoh Pokedex, you need to venture quite far down the list before you encounter any ice-type Pokemon, even though Sinnoh is definitely of a northern climate. The first few Pokemon that include Ice-type are not primarily Ice-type. The first one that is primarily Ice-type is a Mono Ice-type, and then we have this week's Pokemon, which is the first dual-type Pokemon in Sinnoh that is Ice-type first before its second typing. Of additional intrigue is that this Pokemon cannot be caught in the wild in Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, HeartGold, or SoulSilver, startling as this Pokemon was first introduced in the fourth generation games. In fact, the only games where this Pokemon can be caught in the wild are Black and White and Black and White 2. This Pokemon can only be obtained in other games by meeting the special evolution conditions placed upon its predecessor. Evolution conditions similar to those that exist for Tangela. In one of those life imitates Pokemon moments, in 2019, scientists attempted to Jurassic Park some DNA from a mummy that was found in the Siberian permafrost in 2011. You can read all about it in the March 14th, 2019 article in the web magazine Live Science. They were not successful, but if they had been, we may have seen the animal this Pokemon was based on walking in the real world again. Not a dinosaur. Okay, that is your Pokemon of the week. I made it super easy. for all the folks who found it too hard lately, if you're finding it too easy, you're lying. Because sometimes I put in false things. That's not true. That's not true. I do play classical guitar.
We will be back next week with another show for you guys. Kickstarter till the end of the month. Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com. Vote for us in Games and Hobby. That starts today. Thank you to anyone who left us a review in Apple Podcasts. We actually had quite a few reviews this past week, so thank you. And that's it. Greg is at Washing the... Greg's not...
Hughes? Lawyer.
Yeah, lawyer. Down. He's now confusing us.
Greg is at White Wing. Will is at Washing the Sink.
Usually happen.
Oh, say your thing.
No, I usually have been at Washing the Sink for the past 13 years.
I am at Dragging a Lake. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Instagram at PKMNCAST. I think that's that. I will continue hunting and wasting money on Deoxys. We will be back next week. This is another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective.
Super shiny Deoxys, now on sale on eBay, $2.99. Comes in a master ball, all egg moves. It's brilliant.
Does Deoxys have an egg move?
Because it does. It's a special one. That's why it's $2.99.
Okay.
Look me up. Look at my eBay. PokemonRipoff.com.
A quick shout out to everyone who supports us on Patreon. If you would like to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective or you can head over to isc.cash if you would like to support the podcast. Shout out to our producers of this episode, Kay, Kevin, Catherine, Courtney, Matthew, Anthony, Jetsy, Patrick, Casey, Liam, Potato, and our executive producer of Spencer. Thank you all for your support. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next week.